hit this one, Miles.
You are listening to The Business Called Cricket, only on Red Podcast.
Hello and welcome to my show. It's A Business Called Cricket. It is all about the cricket industry during the COVID times. And my guest today is very special. His name is Paras Anand, who heads a company called Saw Perils Greenlands, which is one of the biggest cricket equipment manufacturers in India. He employs almost 1,500 people in the manufacturing sector. Thank you very much for being my show guest today, Paras Anand. Paras, first question, how has the lockdown been for you and for your industry?
See, Rika, like how it has been for all the other industries, you know, it's been a nightmare. Lockdown, especially when it started in March, which was, you know, probably the peak of our summer season. You know, that is a time when schools finish their exams and cricket starts. So that was like, you know, you wait for 6 months for the season time. And in this case, what happened was, as soon as we were ready with all the inventory, you know, with all the new products, waiting for the IPL to start, the lockdown started. You know, so it could not have hit us at a worse time. And then, you know, obviously we were closed for almost 2 months. So those 2 months were tough for the entire sports industry. And now that, you know, we've been back up and running for the last month and a half, it's going to take time, but we are hopeful that once cricket picks up, we will be, you know, back to our normal levels of business.
So you employ almost 1,500 people in your company. Is manufacturing back in full swing? Are they back at their own workstations?
When we started, say about a little less than 2 months back, it started very slowly. It was a gradual process because all the production facilities were allowed to bring back, you know, a certain percentage of people so that social distancing was maintained. So the first 3-4 weeks, we were working at only, say, 30 to 40% capacities. And in the last maybe month or so, we've actually reached about 90%.
So Paras, you were mostly exporting your stuff. Have you now also decided to grow in the Indian market? And how much of your presence in the Indian market is being impacted by COVID?
You know, when we started, this business was mostly a export business. But in the last 10 to 15 years, what has happened is our domestic business is actually bigger than the export business that we are doing. Since IPL has grown so much in India, that our number one market is India today. In fact, 80% of our revenue comes from the domestic market. So what has happened here is in the last 2 months, we've just got export orders. The domestic market has been pretty much flat. And recently, you know, now that the markets are opening up, so we are seeing a sort of a comeback for the domestic market. But currently, like 80-90% of what we are producing is being exported to mostly Australia, South Africa, and New Zealand.
So would you say that the domestic market's growth has coincided with the rise of the Indian Premier League? It wasn't before Indian Premier League that there was so much consumption of cricket equipment, cricketing goods in the Indian market.
Absolutely. You know, since we've had the IPL, we also realized, you know, that the domestic market, you know, was probably growing for almost 10, 12 years at a rate of, it was a double digit growth. And that is the reason why cricket equipment market has become so significant in India. That's probably the reason why we are, like when you mentioned, when you introduced, you said that SG is the largest manufacturer of cricket equipment in India. In fact, SG has been the largest manufacturer of cricket equipment in the world. And the main reason for that has been the size of the domestic market.
I have to tell our listeners that if they are wearing a Reebok or an Adidas or any other equipment today, it could well have been manufactured at your base in Meerut, isn't it?
Yes, that's true. But now that these multinational brands are slowly moving out of cricket, so what you see today, you know, there are the traditional brands which have been there for a century or even for decades, which is good for the small businesses, for the medium sector businesses, because the brands have obviously more marketing budgets, and they have realized that the cricket market is not that big, you know. So they slowly moved out of cricket equipment business, which has been good for the industry overall.
So would you say the big international brands moving out of cricket slowly but steadily, it has helped in good growth for the MSME sector in India?
It has. The reason why the multinational brands were not accepted, one main reason for that was that the consumer understands, you know, with technology, with the information that is available online, they understand who's a cricketing brand and who's somebody who's new into the into a category and trying to establish, you know. So that credibility that all the traditional brands got, including SG, for being a brand and being in this industry for decades, has actually helped us a lot.
Right. Since you mentioned about SG being in the industry for decades, could you please tell us a little bit about, you know, its historic association with the game of cricket? It was born in 1931 in Sialkot, even before India attained its independence.
Yes, that's true. So the company was established in 1931. And at that time, you know, we were manufacturing footballs. We were manufacturing hockey equipment, tennis equipment. So it was like a multi-sport business when it started. And then post the independence, when the family moved with the business to India and settled in Meerut, that was the time when, you know, the focus then started shifting more towards cricket and less towards hockey, football, and, you know, the racket sports. And then it was in early 60s, you know, when we started exporting to major brands who were based either in UK or in Australia or in New Zealand. And from there, the growth story started, you know, for the company, that the export started booming. There was good growth that we were getting in all the international markets. And this growth continued till late 90s. In between that, obviously, the 80s were a significant phase for the company when the company signed up Mr. Sunil Gavaskar, you know, as a brand ambassador
Early 80s. That's really funny because, you know, when I was also growing up and watching cricket, I used to think that SG stood for Sunil Gavaskar, and I didn't know that there was a company called Saw Perils Greenland that supported him. Was there a confusion in the minds of several other people like me?
Not several others. In fact, everybody was confused. You know, whoever saw Mr. Gavaskar play, or whoever has heard of him, even kids today, you know, who are young, they've not seen Mr. Gavaskar, but they still have, you know, because they've heard it from maybe their elders or their parents, that, you know, they still believe that, you know, SG is owned by Mr. Gavaskar. And that's the thing, that even I've grown up, you know, everywhere you go and talk to people and you tell them about what you do, they're really surprised to learn that, and they feel that, you know, we always thought that this company belongs to Mr. Gavaskar.
It was either Sunil Gavaskar or Saurav Ganguly later, because, you know, it spanned over a generation, and it moved from one generation thought it was Gavaskar and other generation thought it was Saurav Ganguly, not realizing that it is your company, Saw Perils Greenland. Tell us about these iconic ambassadors that you've had, and, you know, how you really picked them and not others.
One of the strengths that the company has had, you know, that when Mr. Gavaskar was playing, my father, who was and my uncle, who were running the business at that time, so they identified that, you know, if we associate with Mr. Gavaskar and we try to have a long-term arrangement with him, you know, not just for maybe 3 years or 5 years, we'd want to have a lifelong contract with him and offer him, you know, a deal where, you know, he feels that, okay, he's also closely working with the company. So they were able to crack that deal. They were able to make Mr. Gavaskar understand, you know, that we wanted not just a legal contract, but it was more of a partnership that we wanted to have with him. And that was unique, because that had not happened in the Indian sports industry at that time. Nobody would have had the vision to collaborate with such an iconic player.
Paros, what you're telling me now is that you were perhaps the first brand in India, truly an Indian brand, to give out endorsements to cricketers.
No, we were probably not the first ones, but this sort of arrangement, you know, because, see, there were other Indian brands who were doing very well. We were, in fact, not the market leaders in the early 80s in the domestic market. SG became a leader in late 80s, post the association with Mr. Gavaskar for, say, good 5 years. Before that, there were other brands who were doing more business in the domestic market because our focus was on the export market. The deal that we did with Mr. Gavaskar, which is still going on, you know, that association is still there. You know, he's still our brand ambassador and he promotes us actively, you know, wherever we seek his help. So that was unique, you know, just, you know, because now you hear about multinational brands, they have athletes, they say that, okay, it's a contract for a very long time. But at that time, early 80s, nobody would have thought of that.
Paras, you've had iconic batsmen like Sachin Tendulkar, Mahinder Singh Dhoni, Virender Sehwag, Suresh Raina, even Rahul Dravid on your roles, but never a bowler really.
No, actually, that also has changed. Now, if you see Umesh Yadav, who's obviously playing for India, you know, he's a SG-sponsored player. Then you have Jasprit Bumrah. He also endorses the SG products. Mm-hmm. And Kuldeep Yadav, who's a spinner, who's a bowler. Mm-hmm. Again, he's with SG. And there are several other bowlers, you know, who we've signed in the last 3-4 years. So I agree, we were not doing that in the late 90s or 5 to 10 years back. But that strategy has changed. And now we have bowlers also who are part of our brand ambassadors.
Well, since, you know, you are a traditional company in the business of also giving out endorsements and having association with players, would you say that the money you spent earlier to the money you spend now has grown exponentially also because of the rise of IPL and the kind of money that IPL has brought into the park? Do you have to pay a lot more to a cricketer right now than you would pay in the past?
Yes, absolutely. The contracts that we have now, and everybody is aware of it, you know, the endorsements that these cricketers are getting in this time is a lot more than what was there, say, 10 years ago. And IPL is one platform which has given the growth to the sport, you know, whether it is endorsements for the players, whether it is, you know, the amount of equipment that is, the quantity of equipment that is sold in the country. So definitely IPL has got a role to play.
Mm-hmm. Now that, you know, the industry is at a pause and things are under a lockdown, I do understand that you have long-term contracts with players, but would you ask them to take a cut given that this is an extraordinary situation that has, you know, that we all kind of have to deal with?
Actually, the good thing that has happened is that most of these players, we've got a very good relationship, you know, yes. So they also understand that in these times, businesses are under a lot of stress. And that stress is obviously, you know, a financial stress. And on top of that, the contracts that we have now with these leading international cricketers, it has a clause there, you know, where we talk about if there is something supernatural that happens or if there is, you know, some, for whatever reason, there is no cricket for a period of 4 or 5 months. So those clauses are there, which protects the interest of the brands. And I'm sure the players also are understanding enough, you know, to realize that the companies would not be in a position to continue the contract when there is no cricket happening.
What about international players? Have you forged any association with any of the international players or are you planning to in the future?
No, we have several international players. Like if you see, we in Bangladesh, we have Litton Das, who's with SG. Then we have two new young cricketers who've played for Bangladesh. And then Dimuth Karunaratne, who's the captain in Sri Lanka. He's also with SG. Then Shane Watson has been playing with SG for the last 4 years. So he's been a very big brand ambassador for the brand in markets like Australia, South Africa, New Zealand. And then we have in West Indies, we have Shane Dorish, who's playing the current series in England. And then Jason Holder, who's the captain of West Indies, he's also with SG. So there is a good pool. Like in Afghanistan, we've got Rashid Khan, who's a very promising all-rounder now in the shorter format. So he's also been with us for almost 4 years now. So there is a decent pool of international cricketers that we've had with us for the last 5 years now.
Paras wanted to have a relationship with Mr. Gavaskar, and even now you have a relationship with him because you wanted to build SG as a legacy brand and have a long-term association. But when you talk about players of today and the ones you name, they are big names on the circuit, but they are also big names because of their limited overs potentials. So do you right now, when you sign up a player, look at a player who will last in the league or in the circuit for 5 to 7 years and thereby, you know, give you big mileage than, you know, a long-term player who will give you sort of a long-term mileage over a period of 10 or 15 years?
See, even now, we as a brand, we look for long-term association, you know. So, if you'll see that we have in the current team, we have somebody like Cheteshwar Pujara. So, he's been with SG since he was 14 years old. So you can imagine the association, it's almost stretching to 2 decades. We have KL Rahul, who's had played really well before the lockdown. Like, he was really playing well in New Zealand and before that, the series in India. KL Rahul was recommended to us by Mr. Rahul Dravid himself. At that time, KL was also 12 or 13 years old and today he's 27. So he's also been associated with SG for such a long time. Then you have Rishabh Pant, you know, who was probably signed with SG when he was 15 or 16 years old. He's such a young boy. Still, he's been with us for 6 or 7 years. So, you know, these are the kind of associations we look for from our brand ambassadors. And throughout, the thought process has been that we want a long-term relationship because the short-term does not work for the brand or for the athlete also.
Let me talk to you a little bit about the young cricketers, the young and upcoming cricketers who've been buoyed by IPL and all the razzmatazz around it. Would you say that there are many, many more who are now interested in making a career out of cricket than it was maybe before the IPL?
Definitely. You know, now that the exposure IPL has given to cricket and the social media also has added to it, you know, because these cricketers, even if they're not playing for India and they're good IPL players, they make a very decent earning out of the sport. So, you know, that is definitely attraction for younger generation, for even for the parents, you know, when they see that, okay, cricket is a career now. If your child is good, if your child is talented, and it's not just about playing for the country to become a cricketer. Even if you play first-class cricket, you get good jobs in, you know, various public sector organizations. So, definitely what has happened in the last maybe a decade or so, more and more participation you've seen of children, and that's helped the sport to grow as well.
How much the game has grown in terms of percentage since IPL began in 2008? If you can just give us a ballpark figure.
What we've seen in the industry, you know, where we were, say, about 12 years back, or the cricket equipment market would have at least grown by 2.5 times. That's a ballpark figure that we're talking about here. So, which is a decent growth.
Which is a fabulous growth, actually. Since we are talking about numbers, right now, we do know the amount of money the broadcaster pays IPL, which is about 1,600 crores in 5 years, if I'm correct. Is that the figure, 1,600 crores?
You have to add another zero to that because 16,000. It runs in thousands of crores.
Right. 16,000 crores in 4 years they are paying. What is the worth of the cricket industry in India totally? Because ICC says that 80% of the revenue that comes from cricket comes from India. So would you again be able to place a ballpark figure to what is the worth of the cricket industry?
See, when we talk about cricket industry, there are again 2 segments to it. You know, one is the professional cricket equipment market, which is the one where, as a brand, SG features, you know, which is the segment that we are targeting, you know, where you're serious about the sport and you want to probably play at the best level. So that child is going for, you know, he's somebody who attends a coaching academy. So that is one part of the cricket industry. And the other part of the cricket industry is the casual cricket. Mm-hmm. That's the cricket where you have your gully cricket, you have your tennis ball cricket. So that market is also huge where, you know, I'm sure everybody's seen, you know, wherever you go in India, you have kids playing with a tennis ball and a cricket mm-hmm. bat. So if you put together both these segments of cricket, one is casual and one is serious, cricket industry today at the retail price level would be anywhere between, say, 800 to 900 crores
right.
in India.
It is only about equipment.
Yeah, this is only about equipment. And this includes both, you know, your casual cricket and your serious cricket.
It'll all depend on the sentiment because no one knows really what is the new normal going to be. There's a lot of talk about new normal, but you must have had your eyes on the England-West Indies series, the first series after resumption of cricket. Would you say that is the best way forward now?
I think that is the only way forward, you know. Not have crowds there, but at least there is cricket on television. People are watching it and people are missing cricket. You know, there was a time when there was so much cricket happening that, you know, you were getting fed up of it. But now there's been no cricket. India has not played for almost 5 months. Mm-hmm. So even if it is, having India play and they're playing in a protective environment, administration is ensuring that the players are safe, and there is cricket on television, I think that will boost the sentiment, you know, that will get the sport back on track really fast, you know, so that, the cricket academies can start operating and people start playing tournaments. So that is needed. And that is the need of the hour. The sooner it happens, the better it is for the industry.
Perhaps the BCCI is looking at getting domestic cricket back by December and international cricket before that. Para, since you've travelled to all the venues that are there in India, what, according to you, would be the best biosecure venue for the Indian cricket team now to get back, firstly, into a camp and then perhaps, start playing the sport?
See, what I have read about, I haven't obviously been to Ahmedabad and seen the new stadium, but I think that's the number one choice now, you know, because they have a very good facility over there. They have about 30 odd rooms. So players can, you know, so there is a facility there for players to stay within the stadium and stay, you know, they're talking about a bubble environment, you know, and that's the terminology they're using. So I think that's the choice one. And the second choice is Dharamshala. That's also a stadium that is being discussed and, you know, obviously not a very busy place. So these are the two stadiums that are that people are, that media has been talking about in the last couple of weeks, you know.
You also think that those could be the prospective places and easily the most secure places that cricket could go back.
Yes.
Okay, we've spoken a lot about the men's cricket and a resumption, the industry resuming. What about women's cricket? You know, since you supply to both the segments, could you please tell us about how do you look at that segment resuming and girls getting back to the park?
We've seen the performance of the Indian team in the last 3 or 4 years. That's been the silver lining for the industry. You know, that is where, I'm not just talking about India. That is something that has been the biggest positive that has come out in the last 3-4 years, whether it is England, whether it is Australia, New Zealand, even India. And we've seen the recent T20 World Cup that was there, you know, how successful it was, how well India played. And, the quality of cricket has suddenly improved, you know, in the last 4-5 years. Now we are seeing that, you know, the market is also demanding products which are relevant for girls as well, you know, for girls who are probably not as strong as maybe a boy who's 13, 14 years old, a 12-year-old girl.
Are you manufacturing equipment particularly for the girls now? And young girls?
Yes. Yeah, there are some new sizes that we were probably not selling 3 years back. But we've introduced those models, you know, those sizes of bats, because that is what young girls are picking up, you know. That has been a big positive, you know, that has come out. And we are hopeful this is going to grow, you know. Like, and I've noticed within friends and family that, you know, you see, say about 10 years ago, if boys were playing cricket, the girls would not want to play. They're like, okay, we'd go and play some other sport, maybe play badminton or something else. But now you see, you know, and I've seen that happening. I've seen that change. Now you see girls also playing cricket, which is great.
Paras, we know that young girls today are interested in playing cricket, but would you say that the number of girls who are kind of succeeding and not falling off the sport, because there are a lot of girls who come in, but the girls who graduate to the next level are still fewer. Would you say that is changing?
The percentage is still very small, but we are very positive. You know, we are very positive that it's going to grow. And the numbers, you know, like what we see in other sports like tennis, even badminton, you know, the participation level is almost 50-50, you know, wherever you see. It will take time for cricket, but I think eventually we'll get there.
Would you say women's IPL is what is perhaps going to change that? Because it's the men's IPL that you said in the last 10 years has changed the scene hugely.
Definitely. You know, if we have the women's IPL, even if it is a shorter version, you know, it doesn't have to be a 2 months event. Even if they do it maybe in 2-3 weeks, if they can squeeze it in, that will be brilliant for the sport in India.
Faris, you know, this time during COVID, everyone's talking about making innovations. Every industry is talking about how they change and what are the new things that they would like to bring in post-COVID. Is there any innovation that Soparels Greenlands is thinking of that we are going to see post the COVID?
What has happened is we also realized that our dependence on cricket is huge as a business. And this is exactly what we have done in the last 4 months of, you know, discussions, internal discussions, and the research and development team or the product development team. So this is what we've been focusing on. And what came out of it is we are taking it as a positive and we're taking it as an opportunity for us, you know. So we are, we've been working on extending. We had already started introducing the training apparel wear. Now we want to diversify further and get into categories like home fitness, categories like running, categories like cycling, and even some of the training equipment, you know. So that has been probably the lesson for us from this entire pandemic situation, that you know, one should have should not be dependent on one particular business vertical.
One of the reasons that I had gone to your factory a few years ago was to see the mongoose bat and how it's made. Any, you know, cricketing innovations that we can get from the SG stable post the COVID times?
From cricket point of view, you know, we've obviously worked a lot on our R&D for the cricket bats and cricket balls. So it's basically product upgradation that has happened. And if you talk about something new and innovative, we have come out with a travel protection kit, you know, for any sports person who's traveling in a public transport and going to even to his school to play or to an academy to play. So we've designed that product and we have started marketing it online. And we are in talks with some of the bigger buyers, you know, who are keen to market this product on their platform. So that is something that has come out of this entire exercise, you know, the travel protection kit. And wherever we have supplied, we've given it to a few security agencies also, you know. So it's not just for an athlete. It could be anybody sitting in a public transport. So they have appreciated it. And then few doctors who've tried it, they've really liked it compared to a traditional PPE kit, which is very uncomfortable and really warm to wear. Like it makes you sweat a lot. So the one that we've made is quite an innovative product, and that's been very well accepted. And we are hoping that, you know, that will probably become a norm for people who are traveling by public transport, especially athletes who are traveling, you know, and then they go to academies or to their schools. They could use that entire protection kit.
Paras, you are one of the most dynamic men I know in this industry. And really, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and shedding the light on the cricketing industry. Thank you and have better times ahead.
Thank you very much, Rika. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
It was really nice talking to you.
Thanks, Rika. All the best.
All the best to you too.
Always hit this one, Miles.
You were listening to The Business Called Cricket, only on Red Podcast.